why would you say, and I know you talk about this in chapter one of your book, but why is the problem of evil and suffering so important?
Well, it's because it's the inevitable, inescapable issue. And we know it's wrong. We know that something is terribly wrong. And it's not only people who know. And Romans 8 talks about the groaning of the whole creation. It's not just we who groan. Mm-hmm. But the whole creation groans. Well, who besides human beings suffer? I think the obvious answer is animal. Mm-hmm. Okay, so if you've seen, we went through an experience, we've gone through three experiences in the last 30 years of beloved family pets, dogs, dying. And when our dog, Maggie, suddenly got sick and died at 9 years old, and our previous two dogs had died at 15, so they in dog years, they lived a good, full, you know, old life. But Maggie didn't, and she was so full of life. And then and to look into her eyes, to see her pain and suffering, I saw in that the whole creation groans. Mm. My dog knew this wasn't the way it was supposed to be. Yeah. She just did.
Yeah.
And we all know this. We see the suffering in the world, the tragedies. I got a letter yesterday from somebody who told me, somebody I know and trust, and I know what they're saying is true. But what has happened in her life in the last year has been unbelievable. The number of family and friends that have died, some of them tragically, multiple people, very close to her, and just how overwhelming it is. But then she says, but the grace of God is there and so real. And I know he's on the throne and I'm trusting him. And by the way, you know, you were saying the whole thing about, would we have known love? Well, think about grace. Okay. You could say maybe in the garden that Adam and Eve could sense the love of God, the care for them. Look at this beautiful garden and look at the gifts and look at the bodies he gave them and look at the world and the animals and the beauty of it and all that. Well, you could feel like, yeah, he has affection toward me and he loves me. And look, he's given this to me, but not the depths of love that involve grace. Because the doctrine of grace would simply be unknown. I mean, God would still be full of grace.
Sure.
But how would we see it? Grace is more than unmerited favor. It's when you merit damnation. And and then he gives you favor. Yeah, it's unmerited. But you merited something terrible. And God is giving you this gift that you don't deserve it at all. The doctrine of grace, the truth of grace. Jesus came full of grace and truth. What would we know of the grace of God if not for the problem of evil and suffering? It's when he looks at us, Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. Christ died.
Yes. Yes.
And he's commended his love toward us. And it's just mind-blowing that he would do this. And it's a great verse in Ephesians 2, actually all the verses in Ephesians 2 are great, and all the rest of the Bible too, but verse 7 where it says, in the ages to come, God, and now I'm translating literally the Greek in the present tense or the ongoing tense, in the ages to come, God will be revealing unto us the riches of his grace and kindness to us. Mm-hmm. In Christ Jesus, there will be an eternal unveiling of the depths of God's grace. We will never stop exploring God's grace and kindness to us because they are infinite. He is infinite. We are finite, but when we worship, we enter into the worship of the infinite. So in the ages, if you think, okay, so how are you going to view the sufferings of your life, which now seems so overwhelming? How are you going to view them 1,000 years from now? How are you going to view them 10,000 years from now, 100,000, 10 million years from now? Will you view them the same way you do now? Well, if we believe the Bible, we believe Romans 8:28. He causes all things to work together for good to those who love him, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Now, in my life, I have not seen all the good of the bad things that have happened to me. But I have seen a lot of good come out of the bad things that happened to me. One thing I recommend that people do is take a sheet of paper, and I talk about this in my books on evil and suffering, but take a sheet of paper and write on one side of it all the bad things that have ever happened in your life. And yeah, you may need a couple sheets of paper, but whatever you need, just write them out. Okay. So now take another sheet or multiple sheets and then write all the best things that have ever happened to you or that you've ever experienced in your life. And after you've done that, then go back and ask yourself, how many of the best things, the good things, the wonderful things I wrote out here would have happened in my life if not for the bad things? And I can directly see as I have done this, oh my word, that's on my list of worst things that ever happened to me. But out of that came numbers of things here that are on my list of best things that ever have happened to me. So what we're doing is we're getting a limited but very real view of the truth of Romans 8:28. God causes all things to work together for good to those who love him, to those who are called according to his purpose. Does that include the worst things? Well, Romans 8 is about the worst things. I mean, it's about the curse, suffering, sin. So that's exactly what it's about. It's not just God causes good things to work together for good. No, it's the worst things he causes to work for good along with the best things all together. So when we grasp that, then I think, now I go, all right, well, since I see numbers of cases in my own finite life on this earth where I've already seen him bring great good out of suffering and sin as well, if I've seen it in these other ones that are on the list, it's just a matter of time. One day, I will see Romans 8:28 to have been true of all of them, just as I see them to have been true of many of them now. And by the way, the older I get, and I turn 67 this month, the older I get, the more I see the good he has brought out of bad things in my life. I remember heartbreaking things that happened when I could no longer be a pastor anymore because I was arrested at abortion clinics for peaceful, nonviolent civil disobedience that was designed after the civil rights movement and the peaceful protests, but also civil disobedience. They came to garnish my wages. Myself and another pastor had founded this church 13 years after we started this church. It had grown magnificently. The Spirit of God was doing beautiful things. People were coming to Christ. This is what I wanted to do. And suddenly, because of lawsuits from abortion clinics, I had to resign. Otherwise, my income from the church would have had to pay monthly, you know, percentage of the garnishment of my wages to an abortion clinic. I couldn't allow that to happen. All of a sudden, I'm looking, well, I don't know what I'm going to do now because I was already doing what I wanted to do. And it was a pretty crushing experience. But out of it, God brought Eternal Perspective Ministries. God allowed me the time to write, and I didn't have enough time to write as a pastor, which everybody can sympathize who's in ministry with. You know, I just didn't have the time. And he brought all these good things out of it. Okay, but if the bad thing hadn't happened, then God couldn't have worked the bad thing for good. And it's very much, and I'll finish this aspect of this particular question with this, is it was very much Genesis 50, verse 20, which is really the Romans 8:28 of the Old Testament. Joseph looks at his brothers and said, "You intended it for evil, but God intended it for good to save many lives." And one day we will have that eternal perspective that Joseph already had in this life with his brothers.